Okay, so we're holding on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom, by 2 dots.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to, Bigmar's going to bring in a side topic, which the reason why we're bringing it in is because we're going to have a few different opinions about Mergoyim about it, and one of them is going to relate to our Mishnah. Again, we said an Ar, we don't need that now, but okay. Again, we've learned in our, one thing we've learned in our Mishnah is the concept, Kotzen Behevi Gadol, Revi Emeloya. So that we said that if a person made a neder to bring a smaller animal, and instead he brought a larger one. So we said that the Chachamim say he's Yosef, because the big one includes the smaller one, and Revi disagrees because he has to keep exactly what he said. So therefore, so we're going to bring something, we're going to bring a different topic that relate that according to one opinion, relates to this. Tnanhof, when we learn in a Mishnah in Shkolim, Shisha L'Nadava. They had, we've learned a number of times already, they had 13 pushvis, they're called in the Mishnah, because they were shaped like a shofar, narrow on top and wide on the bottom. Oh. We learned in the Shkolim, but we also learned a number of times about this concept of the Shkolim, especially we've learned it in Zvachim and in Menachos, and we've learned it here and there places in Shas. So we say in the Mishnah there that in Shkolim, you have, there are seven in all together. There are seven them that are labeled the particular, and then Shisha L'Nadava, and then there are that are meant for Nadava. Nadava means of the Sibra, which is that the money in them is used to buy Kayach, as Karbonis for when there's no other Karbonis, where the meat is burnt on the Mizeach like any other oiler, and the skin is given to them like any other oiler. The Mishnah over there in Shkola mentioned. So a pasuk that you are Yod Yakoyin from the time of the first day of Mikdash Gaishin, you have a moisture like that when you have leftover from certain carbonates, that it has to be for Nadava. Okay, so we have 6 boxes for Nadava. So the question is connected meat. Why do we have 6 boxes? What does that correspond to? If they all go for the same purpose, why do we need 6 of them? So Simon Kamapsha, there's a few different gusas what exactly it's supposed to be. Basically, it looks like the mem is supposed to be either a nun and zayin, or yud and a zayin. So the kuf stands for chizkia, the yud or the nun stands for Rav Yechanan, the zayin stands for ziri, etc. We have 6 different amiroyim who address this question, why there are 6 boxes for Nadava. As usual, you have simonim asei b'Torah. You should make simonim because it helps you remember the Torah. So in many places, you have dozens of places in Shas where you have the simon. We've had a couple of times in Or Masechta already. We had even in Mishnayos, Rabbi Yehuda gave a simon for the size of the lechem aponim, Mishtei lechem, Zadad Yahad. It's important to have simonim because simonim asei b'Torah, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, make for yourself simonim in the Torah, and that's how you'll acquire Torah, because you'll remember it.
With simonim.
Okay. So this is the simon. So why do we have 6? So again, why 6 boxes? So we have 6 amiroyim explaining to us why you have 6 boxes. Omachitia, not Chitia says, it's like this. Can I get Shisha Bote Obet HaKoyim? The 6 boxes correspond, the 6 pushkas, to the 6 Bote Obet within each Mishmar. Now, each Mishmar serves in the different Mishmar for a week, and each Mishmar takes over the following Shabbos. There are each Mishmar is divided into 6 Bote Ov, one served each day of the week, and on Shabbos they all join together in doing the Avodah. So you have 6 boxes for the 6 batei aves. Namely, so why do you need 6 for Nadava? Shetikna lahem chachamim. So Chizkiya says, the chachamim made this takana that you should have 6 all for the same purpose, all for kayis and zeach, sheyesh sholem zeh and zeh. This way you'll have sholem between batei aves. What's going on over here? So Rashi explains like this. What do we
mean?
Batei aves. I mean, again, each mishmer is divided into batei aves. I mean, the father's house, literally. So each Mishmar, which is a large family of Kohenim, was divided into 6 subgroups. So if one would do on Sunday, the next one on Monday, the next one on Tuesday, etc., of the week when they're serving in the Mishmar. So what's the deal? Rashi explains like this. These Zveach, as in general, all Olas that are brought, the Kohenim get in of those Korban. The pasuk says by a private person's ola oha ola asher hikriv lakoyin moyis and zvachim, and it's true of korbanos tibur as well that the koyinim get these skins. Okay, there's a gemara talking, by the way, that mentioned of time towards the end of the second Beis Hamikdash when you had some of the tough koyinim were grabbing them by force from other ones, so then they made it donating them to Hekish. But the basic idea is that the koyinim themselves should get it, and that way, you know, they make some money out of it because the skins. Now, what happens? Well, like this. if you didn't have six boxes for Nadava, what could happen? Not every day you have the same number of oilers being brought. I mean, you have to sit the two committee every day, but some days you might happen to have more people come and bring oilers. Some days less. Some more kites, some is bayak, some days less. If you don't have equal division among the various bote of, then playing some is going to be arguing between them. Some will have more than others, exactly right. So they'll have fewer ones that people are bringing into, so there'll be fewer skins. The one who that happens, that's our mazel. You guys have no share in that. But on the other hand, the other ones are going to feel left out that maybe on a certain other people brought korbanos. So like this, they made the takana. They had six boxes. So like this, each base of takes from their own. So as money comes in, it gets put into the six boxes. It sounds like the way Rashi is describing it, that basically the idea is to put money as evenly as possible into the six boxes, so that way everybody has more or less an equal share. The Sassemis wants to talk about that maybe it is more, not so much necessarily they made sure to put it evenly into the boxes, but when they're spending it out of the boxes, they would make sure to try and do it evenly, or so that everybody could have, an equal share. Either way, the point is they tried to do like that. Interesting, by the way, Sam Sofer talks in one of his shulchans. There are other, here we're saying that there are six batei av. Elsewhere, for example, Rashi mentions that there are actually seven batei av in each mishmar. So what is it? And Sam Sofer gives an interesting answer. He says, look, I mean, the seventh day is Shabbos. If you hold there are seven batei av, then not like Rashi saying over here that all the batei av do the avodah together on Shabbos. Seventh base av does the avodah on Shabbos. The problem is there's no nedarim and nedavos brought on Shabbos. That means on Shabbos, by definition, there's only going to be four skins. There's going to be two oilers, there's going to be two tmidim, and two mustafim.
That's the same all the time.
Yeah, all the time. But the point is, there's no pasuk. So if you were going to have the seven batei av and one does the avodah on Shabbos, because they would say, look, we're only getting four, whereas you guys could be getting a couple of dozen. So therefore, that's why Rashi prefers to mention over here, and that's why Chizki prefers to explain over here, that there are only six batei av. Then we're not worried about friction, and as the Gemara is going to say later, rather there would be other reasons why we have six boxes. Again, Chizkiah's reason why there are six is only one out of six reasons that we're going to get. Okay. Fine. That's reason number one. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mitoshan Adovim, because you have, Rabbi Yochanan is giving a different reason, because you have a lot of nedava, Tiknu Lahem Shofrus Merubin, so therefore the Chachamim has to make a takana that there will be many shofrus, many pushkits for the service. Traditionally, it's after Amos, so that the money doesn't get moldy or rusty or whatever by the time they go to spend it. Well, because of it staying in the boxes for a while. If it's staying in the boxes for a while, it may get rusty, and then it's not going to circulate. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Silver, copper, whatever it is. I mean, it could get rusty or moldy or whatever, staying in there a long time. But either what it means is, in other words, that because you have a lot of these cases of nedava, where money is given for this purpose, so therefore it may take a while before they spend it. And Rabbi Nagershon points out another detail as well. Remember, the whole purpose of these is only for kais and mizbeach when there's no other korbanos being brought. You could have periods when for a couple of months at a time, the day after day, there are many korbanos being brought for whatever reason, or there's no chance to spend money from these boxes. Therefore, if you have a lot of money, it could rust or mold or whatever. So like this, if it's spread out among six boxes, the box is going to get that full,
limit to the number of boxes.
No, but then I'm going to figure that six is enough for new.
How big
was it? I don't know. Doesn't say. Okay. So that's answer number one. Ze'iri, Omar. Ze'iri says the reason why you have six boxes for Nadava is, as our Mishnah, can they get Parva Eagle, Iowa Kebis, Geosir? They correspond to the six animals that could be brought. The six male animals that we mentioned in the Mishnah. An adult and baby cattle, males. A ram and a sheep, males. And both and a baby goat. Those are the six that could be brought for oilers. The Rebbe, that rule about the six boxes would be specifically according to Rebbe Dama that he set it on, bring it in. Cotton behavior gobble loyosa. If a person made a nether to bring a small animal, and the animal is not yet there. So therefore, in other words, the idea is you would have to have a separate box. What if a person makes a nether and a java that he's going to bring a parabola, he gots has to put it in the parabola. An eagle gots it in the eagle box. There's no, you know, you wouldn't need six boxes. According to this way of looking at it, you wouldn't need six. You'd only need, arguably maybe you'd need three. So Because if he says, let's say, an eagle, then he has to bring either an eagle or a pie. He says a kebis, he has to bring either a kebis or an eye. Fine. But the point is, you wouldn't need six boxes. Only according to Rebbe would you actually need six. Okay. Opinion number three, Obatada Omar. It's like this. It is connected various animals, but a different kind of case. Not that cases like the Iri said where a person made an adava that I'm going to bring an oiler, or that this animal is going to be an oiler or whatever, but rather this money is going to be for an oiler. But rather you have cases where a carbon was lost and then replaced, and then the money of it is found. And then the original one is found, and Nika Kluriya, the original one, has to go off to graze until it develops some more. Negative parim. So like this, you have number one. Again, he says it is, so they are the same basic animals, but not all of them because when it comes to the statutory carbonates, which are the kind that we're talking about, there's no difference between a pyre and an eagle, and there's no difference between a gdi and a seir. You don't ever have among the Meluia gap, but among the regular carbon sibber, you don't have an eagle grow to the carbon. You have a pyre grow to the carbon. And the same, so therefore you come out with only four. So if you negate a carbon.
Can not be your two with an eagle?
When the turtle sells, you have to say when the turtle sells, the turtle doesn't want to have a pyre, off your pyre, right? Okay. So if you negate a parim, so number one, you have like the parim of the chassas of sibber, for example, the pyre helm double for sibber, which suppose the animal got lost, and you designated another one, and then he found the original one. So we've learned before that if it was a chassas of a yachid, it would have to be one of the chatoris hamesis. You'd have to leave it to die. Because it's a chassas tibur, that rule doesn't apply. Therefore, instead, you have to send it off to graze so it develops a mum. And then you take the money of it, and you use it for nedava. It goes into the first box.
So the Sibber would send it off to graze.
A Yochid would say it would be a Chassas HaMeisa in that case. Well, actually, it really depends. We've learned earlier there are actually different scenarios. Did you find the second one, Lifnei Kapara, La'acha Kapara? There's all the various permutations, but whatever. Okay, so that's number one is Purim. Number two, Ha'elim, the same thing, the Ha'elim. Number two, you have rams that are used by a Yochid for his Osham. You have Osham Zelus, Osham Me'ilus, Oshem Shifcha Harufa and Oshem Tolery. All of those are supposed to be rams. Same thing, if you lost it and then set aside a different one and found the original one. We have the general rule, but we've had a number of times already, that any case where if it was a chassas, it would be mesa. If a parallel case happens with an Oshem, then halacha mishnah is roya. So again, if you're going to end up with money from it after you sell it, after it develops some more. So again, it goes to nedava. That's the second box. Number three, v'hakvotin. Number three, you have the same kind of thing with hashamos, but you have hashamos that comes specifically from sheep. Oshem Nazir and Oshem Mathur. So there, Rashi says, you don't want to mix them up with the ones from the Elim, because the purpose of the Elim and the purpose of the kvotin is different. The Asham Zelus, Me'ilus, Shikhaharupa, and Toleri are all meant to be mechaper for Averis. Oshem Nazir and Oshem Mathur are not really to be mechaper for Averis. They're coming to be makshir, to allow him to restart his Naziris, or to allow him to enter the Mitzvah. So therefore, you need a different box for them. Number four, Vasirin. Number four, you have the Seirin of Chassas Sibur, of the Regalim. Again, if one of them got lost, you had to replace it. Same idea, because it's Chassas Sibur, it's not Mesa, it's Roya. That's the fourth box. Number five, Vahamoistres. Then you have Vahapade saying the fifth box is for Moistres in general. He needed to bring any one of these carbonates. He set aside money for it. Then he wound up, he turned out that he had too much money. So therefore, that money goes in the fifth box. And number six, Vahamma. The sixth one is for the Ma'a, which is brought as Polvon. So like this, we know every year a person has to give Ma'a the Shekel. Now you have, the Rashi discusses, Tosfos discusses, other Mephoshim discuss, that you have actually, the Mishnah in Shkolim mentions that many times you also have to give a small amount together with Ma'a the Shekel, called a Kol, the Mishnah has a Mechloikos over there, whether it's a Ma'a or half a Ma'a, or whatever it is, anyway, it's called Polvon. It's like an extra amount. There's different reasons. Sometimes you have, for example, Rashi gives one example that if you have two people give one shekel to count for their two master shekel, so they need to give this extra small amount because, like this, if you were to wait, it's more the matter. Rashi says like this. Usually, how do you tell whether a coin is full weight? Which in those days was important to know whether it's full weight. You have to weigh it on a balance scale. Weighing on a balance scale, inevitably, it's hard to tell whether it's 100% balanced. So therefore, you tilt the scale a little bit, and make the scale a little bit heavier on one side in order to, called achra, we learned about it way back in Bava Basra. So So therefore, so now when you have, if you miss the amount of shekels, you would have an achrof for each one. Like this achrof, he gives a kobo for the hektar to lose out. The word itself shines out to why this group or an extra surcharge or whatever. I think this is another before we shouldn't talk about this one would cow me whatever. Anyway, the point is, example,
if it shouldn't be said under
yeah, that. Yeah, so there's that. Turk brings other, Turk is bringing other examples. You have, the Mishkalim over there described in examples where you have a mar, half a mar. You have another or where you give, where you post in a line, you take that. Now, the case sometimes, called one, that's called that, as saying, it goes on. That goes for
Titan.
What are you talking about? Tanaim and Namarim, all living long after the Smith. Yeah, even we're talking about the Bayer, living close to 100 years, about 70 or 80 Smith is destroyed, yeah. Okay. So that's four opinions so far. Now, two more opinions. Shmuel says, why do you have six in the double boxes? What's it? It's basically what he's taking is the moisture that Batada added and expanding it. He's saying the moisture alone requires six boxes because you have different kinds of moisture. Connected moisture chassas, you have one where you have leftover money from a chassas, again, meaning, in other words, that person set aside money for a chassas, and it turned out that extra because the prices went down. Moisture osham, same thing. Or moisture osham nazir, the third one, is osham nazir is in a category of its own. The leftover of an Osham Mithurda. Again, Rashi explains you want to keep those three types of ashramas separately because, first of all, they're different animals. The ones for Zelus, Me'ilus, Harufa, Shifa Harufa, and Toloi are all animals in their second year, all rams. Asham Mathura and Asham Toloi are both Tvasim, they're both sheep. And within the Nazir and the Mathura itself, they have different purposes. The Asham Nazir is when he's Tomei, and it allows him to restart his Nazirus. And the Asham Mathura is meant to be master him to be able to re-enter the Mach Nantik conscience. So they each have different purposes, and therefore we're going to keep the Nadavis of them separate, the Moistris of them separate. Okay, so those are four so far. Umoisa Minchas Choyse. The fifth one is the leftover money that a person might have if they bring the Minchas Choyse, where a person has the Tumas Mitzvah Kodesh, or the various other cases where a person brings a Torben over the Yerid. Suppose he set aside money for his mincha, and it turns out he's extra. Same thing, it has to go to Nadava, because Yod-Yod's Medrash applies to that also. So what it is that moisture now has to be used for the Nadava of the Sibur, and it has to be used, again, to buy Olos, where Habasa L'Shem Va'Oros V'Toyim. I told you, the Mishnah mentions in Shkolim over there, the Mishnah mentions a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, that Yahyada Koyim Daushin, to say that when you have leftover money from a chassah or an asham, then it has to go to something that benefits both Hashem and the Koyim, namely an Olo where the Basa goes to Hashem and the skins go to the Koyim. And the Minchas Koyte is a chassah, so therefore the same rules would apply to it. Rashi says that if it was a different mincha, that wouldn't apply. If a person designated money for a mincha and then they have leftover money, then actually what he would do is he would take that money and use it together with other money to buy another mincha. So it wouldn't go to mincha. Only the chassas, and in this case the minchas toisa, which is a type of chassas. Right. Okay, so that's the fifth one, and the sixth one says Shmuel umoisa asira sa'efa shokoyin gadol. The sixth box is for the leftover money from the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. Same thing. If he set aside money for that and he has left, he can't use it for tomorrow. It has to go to Nadava. Why? Rashi says, actually, this is Gemara in Moed Katan that brings the pasuk from Yechezkel that actually calls this mincha, the daily mincha of the Kohen Gadol, it calls it a chasa. Yachri chatosa is the expression. It's not really a chasa, but since the pasuk calls it a chasa, then to that extent it has the genome of a chasa. Said Shmuel. And therefore, again, you have leftover money, same thing as Moisra Chasa, that's the Gonin Dava, so is Moisra Asir Seif. So therefore, if you have six, so according to Shmuel, it's not the Ches per se, but nevertheless, it's still called Yerba. Okay. But therefore, so that's what Shmuel says, that's what the six boxes are for. Okay. Rav Oshia, Rav Oshia says, here's a sixth possibility. Most of them, he agrees with Shmuel, but he makes them a little bit different. The first four, the same as Shmuel, the four types of moisturis of chasas and the three types of asham. The fifth one, though, he says is different. When you have leftover money after you bought birds for, you have various cases where a person has to bring a cane, where a person has to bring two birds, one is an ola, one is a chasas. Again, if there's leftover money, then he says it goes in the double. That's the fifth one. And the sixth one is umoisa minchas choyse. The sixth one is, like Shmuel said, for the leftover of the minchas choyse. So the only difference between them is that Shmuel is saying that one of them is for the moisa of chavita kohen gadol, and Rav Oshia is saying that it's for moisa kin. Okay, so again, Shmuel, my time will almost Rav Oshia. Okay, so why does Shmuel not hold like Rav Oshia? And actually, the question only on Shmuel. The question is really on all the other. Rashi says that the question is really on all the previous. Amaroyim as well. If we don't have a reason for machlokas, then it has to be. If they're arguing, there must be a reason for the machlokas. Right. So that's what we were saying before about the first four Amaroyim. That we said Chizkia has said it's because of arguing, and the other Amaroyim feel that arguing is not really a significant enough reason to make six boxes, because there's other ways of avoiding that. Rabbi Yochanan had said because there's a lot of Nadava and we're afraid the money is going to spoil, and again the other Amaroyim aren't concerned about that, and same thing with the Iri's reason, and same thing with Rapada's reason. So now when we get to Rav Oshia's reason, so we have five Amaroyim who are arguing with him. So why do Rav Oshia's list of the six things? But in particular, we're asking according to Shmuel, basically agrees with Rav Oshia. All he's doing is taking out Kinnim and putting in Moshe Gadol. So what's the difference? So the reason is Kinnin Tomalei Reisha. He would answer, So you're in the Mishnah. When it mentions the first seven boxes, you have the third box over there is labeled king. So therefore, you have the third one. So therefore, you don't need one of the last six ones for king. So the question is, in that case, Rav Oshia Tani, Vilei Tani, are you telling me then that Rav Oshia has a different version of that Mishnah that doesn't have the word kinim in it earlier for the third box? Because, well, Tani Rav Oshia, but Tani kinim. Because we see that Rav Oshia did learn, he did, in his version of the Mishnayot, he also taught that there were 13 shofaris, and he also had kinim in his list. So again, you're back to the question. So Shmuel has a good point then. Why do you need two boxes for Kinyan? And the answer is, Rabbi Oshia would answer, fine, have the Kinyan, have the Kinyan. Okay, but Rabbi Oshia would answer like this. The difference is, everybody has in their versions of the Mishnah, they have the word Kinyan. The answer is that Rabbi Oshia would make a distinction like this. One box, the third box, is for actual Kinyan. Namely, listen as a machoter kapara, they bring money, they put it into that shofar, and then they can be guaranteed, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, Rashi brings it from a Gemara from Erev, can be sure that the Beis Din Shel Kohanim that run things in the Beis Mikdash will be sure to make sure all the money in that box is spent on korbanos by the end of that day. End of that day, the person can eat kodshim without having to worry.
Okay,
no, everybody agrees with that basic concept. But Rav Oshia is saying the one kinin is used for that purpose. And then the other one, v'chav minchas, v'chav l'moysa kinyin. The other one is used when you have money left over. That doesn't go for kinyin. As we said, for chayit for the zeach. So therefore, you need to keep them separate.
The most...
The moysa kinyin. He would say chayit goes for chayit goes for nidava of tibur, which is chayit for the zeach. So there's a good reason to have two separate ones. So to have one for kinyin, which are on actual pairs of birds, one is a chassis and one is an oila, versus moysa kinyin for a different purpose.
So
everybody agrees with the concept, but Rav Oshia would say, therefore, that's why you need two labels, one for kinim and one for moisa kinim, because they do have purposes. Shmuel apparently is not concerned about. They were in different places, but I guess one was labeled just Nadava. The mission is just that Shishon and Nadava, it didn't say that they were labeled and what type of Nadava. Yeah. So, that wouldn't be the problem. But I guess Shmuel, that's fine. It's true you have Moshe Kinnon, but fine, let Moshe Kinnon be put in the same box as the one with the Kinnon. So if they bring extra bird carbonates with them, big deal. Okay. Fine. But of Oshia, my time alone with Shmuel. Okay, now why doesn't Rav Oshia agree with Shmuel that one of the boxes has to be for the Moshe of Alasira Seifa, of the Minchas Kabitin? The answer is Sovala, Commander Omar, because Rav Oshia doesn't hold like that, that the leftover money that should have been used for the Chavitin instead is not needed because the material for the Chavitin is cheaper. Rav Oshia holds, not like Shmuel that goes from Minchas Tibur, he holds like a different opinion, Moisir Shalasir Seifa Shakoyen Godor Yukav. He holds that leftover money has to be left to rot.
Wow.
We'll see. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in the Braita, Moisir Minchas Nidava Yerokit. The leftover of a mincha is nidava.
So that's the mincha
tzavikim? Yeah, so 1 second. So we learn in a braita a generic statement like this. Moisa minchas nidava. The leftover of a mincha is nidava. Moisa mincha yirokis. But the leftover of a mincha has to be left to spoil. The question is, my comma, what does the braita mean? Which one is nidava versus which one is yirka? Amar of chiste, so chiste explains, which is what Rabbi Shia is holding. Chalki comma, what the braita means is as follows. Moisa minchas choyte nidava. The leftover money from a minchas choyte, like we said before, it is a type of chassas. Therefore, the same rules as chassas apply to it. So therefore, the leftover money has to go to nidava like the hayada's merish. But this braita says, Moisa asira sa'efa shal kohen gadol yirka. The leftover money from the asira sa'efa of the kohen gadol, namely the minchas chavitin, has to be left to rot. Because it's not really a chassas. Even though it's called a chassas in the pasuk, but still not to the same extent as we're going to discuss later. We're going to discuss in a few lines that even though there is a pasuk that calls it chassas, but it really doesn't have the same dinim as a mincha, which is a chassas, and therefore can't have the same rules. So therefore it would have to be left to rot. There's nothing else you could do with it. Okay, so Rav Oshia holds like that opinion. So therefore he says there's no sixth box for Moisa Asira Seifa, because in fact you don't use it for Nidava. You leave that money to rot. Okay. Rabba disagrees with Rav Chista, and he says, No, when the Braisa, well, they're both trying to understand the Braisa. Again, we had a Braisa that said the moiser of a mincha is nedava and the moiser of a mincha is yurta. So we're trying to figure out which is which. So Rav Chisda said it means mincha koite versus mincha kavit. Rabbi says no. Asilu moiser, asilu seifa, shal kohen gadol, nami nedava. No, the leftover money from the asilu seifa of the kohen gadol would in fact go to nedava, like Shmuel says. Ela moiser, lach metode yurta. Rather, what is the case? What is the case with that the Braisa said, Moisa Mincha Yirkav, it means the leftover from Lachme Toida. Same idea. No? So before, the Rav Oshia held, and Rav Chisda was explaining the Braisa in this way, that, yeah, so like this, everybody agrees that Moisa Mincha Choyta goes to Nidava. Presumably everybody agrees with what we're going to say over here, with what Rabbi is saying over here, that most of Lachmei Toda Yirka. We're not seeing in the Gemara over here anybody who argues with that. So the Machloitis is, what about most of Asir Sa'efa, the leftover of the Chavisim? So Shmuel, and later on Rabbi explaining the Braisa, hold that it goes to Nedava. Rav Oshia and Rav Chisda explaining the Braisa say that that's the case that Yirka.
So they argue on the case
of Asiris Seifah Shokhoin Gadol. Yeah. So Ela Moisa Lach Metoda Yirkav. Rather says, what is the case? The Braisa is saying that when you have something left over, you have to leave it to spoil. That would be the leftover money from Lach Metoda. But now, why would you have to leave it to spoil? So like this. The logic is like this. It's not a chasa, so you can't say that it should be used for nedava. It's not part of your yada's medrash. You can't say that you can just bring it as a nedava, because you can't just bring bread by itself. There's no such thing. You have to bring it with a toida, and you can't bring it with another toida, because every other toida, when a person says, I have to bring a toida, automatically you have to bring bread with it. So therefore, there's no other case that you can possibly be bringing this bread with. But therefore, of necessity, yirkav, it has to be left to spoil. And the Gemara points out.
It has to be brought with bread, normally.
Oh, a toida has to be brought with bread. Yeah, we've learned about that. Yeah.
So since it cannot be brought with bread.
Since you can't have another toida that's going to be brought without bread, where then you could use this money towards this bread, because there's no such thing. As soon as a person says, Harei alai toida, he has to bring the bread with
right.
it, as we've learned before. And you can't just bring the bread by itself, there's no such thing. So therefore, the only possibility is yirka. Okay. The Gemara says, v'tlugja. You have actually on this subject a similar machlokas between earlier Amiroi. What do you do with the leftover money from the Kohen Gadol's Minchas Kavitin? Again, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Nedaver, Rabbi Elazar Omer Yirkav. So Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Shmuel and with Rabba, and Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Chisda. That Yirkav. Fine, the Gemara says, Maitre, I have a contradiction on this opinion that says that Yirkav. Because the Mishnah says in Shalim, the Mishnah is discussing over there what you do with the moisture of various types of situations, of various carbonates or whatever. The Mishnah says, starts off, moisture Shalim Cholin, the leftover money from Shalim is Cholin. In other words, if a person grabbed a handful of coins to give for his master shekel, and it turned out he grabbed too much, the rest of it is Cholin. He doesn't have to do anything with it as far as Hekish.
It's not considered
Hekish, right. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, the leftover money from the Asira Se'efa, which we assume at this point means the Chavite Kohen Gadol, which are made from any stone, and other cases, the leftover money from a Zav or Zavar or Yoldis who has to bring two birds as a korban, the Chatois Bashamas, and the Moisa, the leftover money from Chatas and Hashem, all those, Moisa and Nadav, all of them go to Nadav. So my love, Moisra Asira Se'efa, means Shal Kohen Gadol. When we say Moisra Asira Se'efa, L'chora that means of the Kohen Gadol.
Because
we would assume Asira Se'efa, unspecified, usually means the Chavita Kohen Gadol. And besides that also, if it meant the one of Mincha Kocha, there would be really, on the face of it, there wouldn't be so much of a chiddush in it, because it's a chassas. Of course the same rule apply to it as an animal chassas or a bird chassas. But if we say it's Kohen Gadol, then that contradicts Rav Oshia, the Tana. Fine, maybe he can argue. But Rav Chisda and Rav Elazar are not. So how can they contradict the Mishnah?
All right.
Yeah. The answer is, most of Minchas Kosha. No, they could understand that the Asira Seifa of our Mishnah means the Minchas Kosha. They can understand it that way. Okay, it may not be as much of a chiddush, but nevertheless, they can still understand it that way. Amr of Nachmeitzchok, in fact, Rav Nachmeitzchok says, Mistabra, Commander Amr, Moisra Asira Seifa, Shokon Gobber Yirkov. In fact, it seems logical to explain that, to accept the opinion that this Asira Seifa of Kohen Gadol, that the leftover of it Yirkov. even though that's not the simple meaning of the Mishnah, nevertheless, there's a logical reason to accept that position. Why? The Tanya, because like this, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, lo yosim alei ha-shemen v'lo yitim alei ha-levoina ki-chatasi. The Pasuk says, by minchas chayti, you shouldn't put oil on it and you shouldn't put levoin on it, because it is a chatas. Ki-chatasi, the word he is a meal, it means only this. So therefore, Amar Rav Yehuda, he kriya chatas, ve'en acheres kriya chatas. It means only this is called a chatas, but a different kind of mincha is not, even though it's a chayva, is not called a chatas. Namely, and that is, limit our asidus ta'efa, shokhan gadol, shayin a kriya chatas. From this we learn that the asidus ta'efa, the mincha chavitim of the shokhan gadol, is not called a chatas. So either he disagrees with the limit from the pasuk in the chesto, or he says, fine, to that extent it's called a chatas, but the pasuk in the Torah is telling us it doesn't have all the, genuim of a chatas, and therefore to un levoina. So therefore, in fact, the chavit shokhan gadol require levoina, unlike a mincha chote, which doesn't have oil or levoina, the mincha shokhan gadol has both. It has shemen, which it mentions in the pasuk over there, and it also has levoina. Rabbi Yehuda is saying we're learning that from the word chatas ki. So therefore, the logical thing is...
We're not learning that from the...
So in other words, again, you have the pasuk from your chesed. So let's say, fine, even let's say Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that limud, that it means that to that extent it's called a chatas. Nevertheless, he would say the pasuk here in Vayikra is telling us, on the other hand, don't consider it completely like a chatas. You're putting levoina on it, which you wouldn't do on a mincha of a chatas, right? And therefore, says Rambam, therefore, given that the Asidus Ta'efa of the Kohen Gadol is not really called a Chatas, after all, will therefore, Moisir Yirkav, therefore, it doesn't have the same rules as a Chatas, where we would say the Moisir goes in a Dabba, instead the Moisir of it has to be Yirkav. So it's logical to accept that opinion, on the basis of that.
So basically, they're learning from two different sources, and they argue on that.
Yeah, so in the end, we're saying, in other words, so Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rava would take the Mishnah at face value, most of the Seifa means of the Kohen Gadol. They would say that to that extent it is considered a chatas on the basis of the Pasuk in Yechezkel, therefore the Moser of it is Medava. Rav Oshia and Rav Chista and Rav Elazar are going to say that no, the Mishnah over there in Shalim is referring to the Minchas Chayteh, that the extra money of that goes to Medava. As far as the minchas chavitin, it's not really called a chatas, and you have a mirror in the pasuk chatas ki that it gets levoina where a normal minchas kosher would not, and therefore it doesn't have the dinim of that, and therefore you. And the Rambam indeed passed them that way. Fine. Mishnah says, suppose a person continuing on the topic makes a neder or may make a neder on a dollar. So before, in previous Mishnahs, we were talking about a person making a neder, hare alai etim, hare alai levona, etc. Now we're going to talk about a nedar. Suppose the person says, shur ze ola, I'm designating this ox should be an ola, v'nistayv, and then it developed a mum, but technically at that point, he's closer now because the chiyuv was on the animal, and now the animal is not available. Nevertheless, in rasa yavi b'dam of shnayim, if he wants, he can sell it and use the money for it and use it to buy two animals. Even though it's on the face of it, it's gadol v'hevi katan. We'll see in the Gemara why that works.
Sounds Kodesh?
No, the animal itself is Kodesh. That's why you have to wait till it develops a mum and then he sells it. It still has a business. It's still done. You chew it, you can't work with it. But nevertheless, you sell it and use the money to buy another korban. So if he wants, he can use it to buy two smaller korbans. Another case, Shnei Shvarim Olu Olu V'Nistavu, and vice versa. So if he says these two oxen should be an Ola, and then they both develop a mum, and he has to sell them, so then Rasa Yavi B'Dmei Nechad, if he wants, he can combine the money together and bring one big korban with it. But Rebbe also, Rebbe says it's offered. Not L'Hatchila, Rashi says. I mean, the fact of the matter is he's not high back with it. He doesn't have to use the money for a korban at all. He could do whatever he wants with it, really. But if he wants to bring other korbanos, Rebbe would say he can't substitute the two original ones with one big one. Again, we'll talk about in the Gemara one. Ayo the Ola v'Nistayv, another case. Suppose a person says, this ram should be an Ola, and it develops a mum. In Rasa, Yavi B'dam of Keves. If he wants, he can downgrade and use the money to buy a sheep. Because they're the same name. We'll see in the Gemara.
He sells it and
uses it to buy a sheep. Kevet, we'll see in the Gemara if it also works across species. We'll get to that. Kevet the Ola v'nistayv, same thing in reverse. If he designated a sheep as an Ola and it developed a womb, in Rosh the Yavim B'dam of Ayel, if he wants, he can bring a ram with money. And again, the Rebbe Oster, and again, Rebbe would say it's Oster because he said before, cousin behavi gadol, well, no, not different species, but Rebbe said before, cousin behavi gadol, that he made a netter to bring a small one. Again, it means only the Hatzilah, because really he's not obligated at all. Okay. So you want to start talking. So you're telling me the first part of our Mishnah is saying that if he said shur ze'ola, that if he wants now he can use the value of that shur to bring two. What do you mean? Bahamas Resha. But previously on the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, we said shur b'mona. If the person said I'm making a neder to bring a shur that's worth a mona, the hevi shnayim b'mona, and he brought two of them that together are worth a mona, lo yotza, then he's not yotza even according to chachamim. And he said even on the face of it, that's the same as here. The answer is shur zevin is sayav shnayim. Yes, but it's different in the case where he says this shur, and then it develops a mum, because technically, unlike the previous case where he said harei alai, and therefore the chayv is on him no matter what happens to the animal, here the chayv is on the animal. So therefore, well, once the animal develops a mum, technically his neder is gone anyway. All he's doing at that point is completely optional. So therefore, sure, let him bring shnayim if he wants. But the, over there, where he has a neder on his shoulders, because he actually said harei alai, then he has to actually fulfill his nether, and that means bringing a shur that's worth no less than a money.
He didn't say a lie,
so therefore it's fine. Okay. Then we said, Shnei Shvarim Elo Olven Estavu. We said that if the person said, I'm designating these two animals as an Ola, and then they develop the mum, Rot the Yavi B'men. We said if he wants, he can pull the money and use it to buy one bigger animal, the Rebbe Oyster, but Rebbe says that's Oster. So the question is, so first of all, according to the Chum, why is it acceptable? In my timer, the reason, the question rather is, why does Rebbe say that you can't do that? And the reason is, Mishum Da'avaleh God over heavy cotton, because you started out with a big one, because you started out with two animals, and now you're doing a smaller, even though it's true the one animal is worth twice as much as the other one. Nevertheless, Rashi makes an important point over here, which is, two are always better than one.
If you started with one, are you saying that it would be yotzei?
Ah, well, that's what we have to figure out. In that case, Rebbe should be, wait 1 second, we're going to figure out that Rebbe on the face of it should be just green male also. But wait. Okay, but because he says, yeah, God over here is cotton, cotton. Right. Right. So that's what we're going to ask that in a second. But the point is, Rebbe is saying it's also because now you have God over here is cotton. So it's interesting, Rashi mentions this point, that two are always better than one, even if the two of them only equal in value to one. This is an interesting idea that a number of Achronim talk about.
Better than one, two is for the same value?
Yes, that's what Rashi is saying over here, that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, so the Rashash has a long discussion about it on the basis of the previous statement in the Gemara. He wants to say that maybe the Gemara only means that as a Havah Mina, but Lahaskana not. But a number of other Achronim talk about interesting things that come out of this. The Chevener Rav mentions a couple of such cases. One is involving his father, the Kosel Miyakov, that somebody came to him with a question about an issue involving getting crowns for a Sefer Torah, two small ones or one big one, and the Kosel Miyakov told him, get two big ones, two small ones, I mean, based on here, that two is always better than one. He mentioned another case also involving one of the Gzolim of the previous Torah. The Trebinyan Rav,
yeah.
Well, he lived in Poland before the war, and then he made it out. So he made it out and made it to Israel, and then was a Rosh Hashanah there in the early 50s. Anyway, you may have heard of Baruch Shalom Schneerson, who's his son-in-law. Anyway, so the Trebinyan mentioned one example involving his father, again with this thing with the two crowns for the Sefer Torah. Another one he mentions, another story involving a Kehillah where they had the choice whether to buy two smaller Sefer Torah or one big one. Same idea. So therefore we see from this that two is better than one, assuming that that's the Maskana of the Gemara, which again, the Rashash would disagree with that, but that's yet another one. Also the Brestin Rav mentions in one of the Shiloh Petrovas, somebody asked him during World War II when there was rationing of candles. You have a woman who usually lights for Shabbat X amount of candles. Like this, she can't really get that many. Should she light fewer normal-sized candles, or should she light the smaller ones, the same amount, but smaller? And he gets into a whole discussion bringing in this Gemara over here. There he says maybe it's a little bit different in case, because they might burn out faster, and that would defeat the purpose of Shabbat's list. But the point is, yeah, this idea that Rashi is saying over here, that two are always better than one, is brought by a number of Achronim in various contexts. Okay. Anyway. So the question is, and the Gemara says, now even though it's true that the animal did develop a mum, so therefore technically he doesn't really have a choiv at all, nevertheless, the hafchila lo shori rebbe. So Rebbe is not saying, the hafchila, Rebbe is saying don't do that, to substitute one animal for two. But the other, you did, okay, you look, you didn't have a choiv in the first place, but then, okay. So the question is, v'lishleg nani b'resha, in that case, why doesn't Rebbe disagree in the first case also, where he's going to bring one and now he's selling it and using the money to buy two, because Rebbe holds either way, you can't substitute, not cotton for gobble and not gobble for cotton. The answer is he does disagree. Rebbe akula milsapolik, Rebbe disagrees with the whole statement, with both statements, the notalu that abonan, abimaski milsayu. What happened is, when the Chachamim are discussing this in the Beth Medrash, and eventually it was written down in the Mishnah, he waited until the Chachamim finished saying their piece. And then the whole thing, v'hodr miflegalayu, and then he mentioned that I agree, meaning the Rebbe Oseh doesn't just go on the second case you mentioned, it goes on both cases that you mentioned.
Either way.
So instead of interrupting them in the middle, he says it. Okay, Teda. So therefore, right, but it means, in other words, that he disagrees in both cases. And the Gemara says Teda. In fact, you can prove that he disagrees in both cases. Dikatani, because then the Mishnah continues. Isles are oil of an estive. We continue that if he designated a ram for a carbon and a developing womb, rot the yomi b'dov of Teda. If he wants, he can use the money for a sheep. And it continues, Kevath Dela Olav and Isaiv, and if he says the sheep should be for an Ola and develop a mum, Rotha Yami Badam of Isle, if he wants, he can win an Isle for it. The Rebbe Oster, whereas Rebbe says it's Oster, Shnanina, so that proves that Rebbe in fact disagrees in both cases. You see, yeah, so we see that Rebbe disagrees on the whole thing. Because in other words, the point is, in the previous Mishnah, we know for sure that when a Kevath versus an Isle, we know from the previous Mishnah Rebbe disagrees in both cases, because he said so explicitly, cotton behaving gobble, gobble behaving cotton, he said in both cases you're not Yoster. So when our Mishnah mentions both, and it says only at the end, but Rebbe Oster, we meant to understand that applies to both cases. So the same thing in the Reisha, it applies to both cases. Okay. Fine. So now we have a question. Mimina laminamai. What about, are you allowed to go across species? So if he said this shor should be an ola and it's developing mum, is he allowed to use the money for two elim? Again, we're not talking is he allowed to really, but l'hachila, can he go and use the money? Not physically. So at this point, really, no, it's because at this point his neder is gone because the animal itself is, yeah, so it itself can't be brought. Right, that's the difference between a neder and a dover. Which is, by the way, why the Gemara mentions in a number of places that making an dover, the Gemara mentions in Nidorim, for example, that to make a neder is something that usually only the shor can do. The proper way to do it would be to make an dover. Because a neder, it means it's on you no matter what. So even if the animal develops a mum, or even if the person becomes poor or whatever, he still has to follow through with it, and he may not. So in a double, it would be harehu. Instead of saying hare alai ola, where then the obligation is on him no matter what happens, and he may not follow through with it, and then he'd be over on the neder, which is a pretty serious thing. Instead, a tzaddik, a person who's acting the right way, would say harehu. And that way, if it becomes unavailable, then no problem. Well, you're supposed to say, well, you usually say three neder. Yeah. No, but there it's a little bit different because you don't have a debt. You don't have money right in front of you to say, I raised debt. No. But they are fine. You don't have a choice. If you're not going to be saying three neder, then you really have no choice. But to say, Shindodar X amount, Zaka Baburah, is fine. But we're going to talk about if you say three neder, that's better, yeah. But then, yeah.
Nadava
doesn't mean that you say Dlinadar, it just means that you're saying it on the object rather than on yourself.
So it can also be Nadir,
yeah.
But on the object.
But it's on the object. Right? So the term for it is Nadir versus Nadava, right? Okay. So anyway, so the person designated a shur as a korban, it developed a mum, technically he doesn't have to do anything else, but we're saying if he wants, he can use the money towards other korbanas. We talked in the Mishnah, we said the Chachamim say he could use it to buy two smaller oxen, can he instead use it to buy two rams?
Rebbe,
of course, would disagree, but the question is going to the Chacham. So, again, I shouldn't really say can he. Of course he can, but l'chachila, is it a good thing for him to do? Would we, the Chachamim, recommend to him to go and use the money for two A's? Or would we tell him the better thing really would be that you use it for two cards? Okay. So, Toshma. Shows the Olav and Istaiv. Okay, so we have a Braisa that expands on our mission and it says, if the person says, this Shur is an Olav and Istaiv and it develops a mum, lo yavi b'dam of ayil, he shouldn't b'chatzila use the money towards an ayil, avon maybe b'dam of beis eilin, but he can use the money towards two eilin, which shows that you can go across species. The Rebbe Oser, and Rebbe answers that, but not for the reason of cotton and gadol that we said before. Rebbe says a different reason why you shouldn't do two animals. Lefisha ein bila. Because there's no mixing. Because what happens? Each of these olas has to
be in.
Not, there's not supposed to be. So one second. So what does it mean like this? Not mixing of animals. Bula means mixing things that can be mixed. No. Bula means mixing things that are capable of being mixed, namely the menachas, the minchas nesachim that comes with the korban. Now, like this. When you, each korban that you bring, you have to bring minchas nesachim with. Each one, you have to bring its own mincha with. When you bring in two animals, that means you need two menachas. You can't put them in one keli. So therefore, Rebbe would say, it doesn't at all seem to be anything like your original neder. Your original neder was that you're going to bring one korban, and therefore that you can bring with it one mincha, and instead you're swapping out and bringing two animals and two cases. So it sounds like, Rashi says, at this point in the discussion, it sounds like what we're saying is, Rebbe doesn't really care that you're substituting two animals for one. Because there he would say, it's called mikoyach kama ka'asu. You didn't have chila swap out two for one, you're just saying because it happened that it developed a mum, therefore you're doing it. Rebbe's problem would be because of the menachah. Because the menachos, which you're supposed to bring, one versus two. That's the understanding in the Gemara. We're going to see in a second how that relates to our Mishnah and to the previous Mishnah. Tosfos mentioned a different point also, which is, when it comes to the blood of the korbanos, if it gets mixed up, it's no big deal. It all goes on the Mizbeach anyway. The menachos, you said, we learned a couple of prakim ago that you're not supposed to mix them, and only b'dieved. If they got mixed, then we said you can mix their wine. So that's another reason. So that's also, in other words, the menachos are supposed to be two separate things. And therefore, Rebbe would have a problem substituting two menachos for one. Okay. So anyway, the point is, leaving aside Rebbe for a second, the point is, we see from this braita that yes, you can use two elim. You can use two elim instead of a shur. Good. Shmamina. Okay, so that proves it, that you're allowed to go across species also. For the chachamim we're talking about. So the question is, yihachi mai iryas shrei? Then in that case, yihachi, so if so, that you're able to go from one min to another, you're able to take the money from the shur and use it even like a pillar towards two elim, then mai iryas shrei, why mention that you can use two? After the chad nami, then you should be able to even use it to buy one aisle. Why are we saying lo yavi b'dam of aisle, but instead bring two elim? And after all, after all, according to the Rabbanim, he said in our Mishnah, that once the korban developed a mum, when he said Harei Zem, the korban developed a mum, the Chachamim don't care whether it's gadol or cotton. They say that you're allowed to substitute because you said Harei Zem, and technically you're not required to do anything, and you're only doing it out of an adava, so therefore, yeah. So why in this braisa would he say lo yavi the dumb of aisle? Actually, you shouldn't be bringing one aisle, but you can bring two. What's the difference? The answer is the Gemara says trei tanoim v'alibi d'rabban. You're right. We actually have two tanoim who argue within what the rabbanon are saying. One opinion that says that the chachamim we know from the Mishnah and Kuf Zayin that the chachamim would say that gadol v'hevi katan lo yasa when he said harei alai. One Tana would say that the Chachamim of our Mishnah say the same thing when he said Harezu and it developed a mum. Then the other one would not. So therefore, that's the difference. If he's bringing two, then it's cotton to Hebi Gadol. So like Rashi said before, two is better than one. He's taking one and replacing it with two. So therefore, the Chachamim would accept it. But to do one, that would be Gadol to Hebi cotton. So again, if we say that Gadol to Hebi cotton, we know that Gadol to Hebi cotton is no good when he said Harei Alai, when it's a net. When it's in the dogma, then you have two opinions within the Chachamim whether that's acceptable or hakhila or not. Okay.
And the Rambam?
We'll get to the Rambam way soon. Right. Okay. Then we said Rebbe Oysa Lafisha Indila. Then we said that Rebbe says it's also to even bring two Eilim because you can't mix the two menachos. So what do you mean? Chaima de Indila. What is the only reason Rebbe is saying is the problem because you have two separate menachos and you can't mix them? Hoyesh Bila Shari. What does that imply? And if it wasn't a problem with Bila, then Rebbe would allow it. We learn in our Mishnah, aisle the olav and istayv, rot the yomim b'dam of keves. If there was one aisle, he can substitute for it one keves. Keves the olav and istayv, yomim b'dam of aisle. The Rebbe oyster, and Rebbe says it's also. So Rebbe doesn't even want one for one. Why is Rebbe mentioning over here all of a sudden that only when it's one for two is there a problem? The answer is again, shrei tanoim v'alibi d'rebbe. Similarly, you have two tanoim who disagree within what Rebbe says. When it was Harei Alai, we know for sure Rebbe says Kotten Behevi Gadol Lo Yotza. When it's Harei Zu, and it develops a Mum, then you have two opinions what Rebbe would hold. Would he agree that it's okay then to do Kotten Behevi Gadol, and therefore the only problem in that case is because of the Menachos? Or is it, in which case, if the Menachos aren't a factor, then it's not an issue? Or is it that he holds it?
Because
you have other kinds of korbanos that don't require menachos. For example, you could have, let's say, we're talking about birds. Birds don't come. Oil of doesn't come with menachos. So suppose it was birds, then, according to that way of looking at it, then Rebbe wouldn't have a problem with this. If he takes one big bird and sells it and uses it to buy two smaller birds, then Rebbe might say. But anything that comes with a mincha, Rebbe would have a problem. That's right.
And that's because?
Because ain't bila. Because he's saying, because the problem is, instead of one mincha, you're bringing two menachos and you kind of mix them together. So therefore, it looks very different than his original matter. And again, so the other opinion would say it's not so much the matter of the menachos, it's just that cotton behavior got a lo yasa, even in this case. Okay. Then the braisa continues, to finish up the braisa, over to Hodim. Now, up until now, we've been talking about where the animals develop mumim. What if we're not talking about mumim? What if we're talking about eagle, a plain old case where the person said, I'm going to bring an eagle, the heavy power, and instead he brought a power, or keveth, the heavy isle, yasa, so the braisa saying yasa, and I'm going to point out stomach rabbanon. That part of the braisa has to be a stomach according to the rabbanon, right? Okay. Because let's say cotton baby got all jesse. Then we said rosa yami b'dam of days. We said in our Mishnah, we said that if he wants, if the shur develops a mum, he can sell it and use it to buy two oxen, and according to the Chachamim, that's okay, according to Rebbe not. But within the Chachamim, let's talk about, Amr of Menashe Bazvid Amr Rav, Lo Yishonu Ela De'Amr Shur De'Oilah. This only applies when So first of all, by the way, you're asking what the halacha is. Like, the halacha is like a chachamim, as it usually is. So at least in this case, where it was nisayv, then the halacha is cotton, behavior, god, or yasa. And even in this case, the chachamim would even say, god, or behavior, cotton, yasa, to that extent, because we would say that after all, you don't really have a chiyuv anyway.
So the case here is...
So the case for now, again, we had an arm mishnah, where he says, harei, hasher zeh oila, and it developed a mum, and he sold it. So we said he can bring two shvarim. So Amar Menashe Bazvid Amar Rav, there's a caveat in that. Loi shanu ela de Amar shur ze ola. This would only apply if he said only the words, this shur is an ola, without putting any chiyuv on himself. Aval Amar shur ze olai ola. But if he said, this shur is upon me as an ola, then hukla, then it means he established the achayas on himself as supposed to be one ola, specifically and not two.
Otherwise, he wouldn't
have said the word Allah. So the question is, Duma Olam Aviyah Kamer. Why? Why should he say that Olai creates a chayv on him, like a nether? Maybe it just means I'm obligated now to bring it. Now that I designated this animal, then it's my responsibility to bring it to the Beit Mikdash. No. Because Olai could mean the chayv is on me, or it could be just the responsibility of bringing the animal to the Beit Mikdash is on me. Now that I've designated this animal, yeah, I have to plan a trip to Yerushalayim to bring it. Doesn't mean that he's saying that I'm chayav b'achor yosoi, that if the animal develops a mum or what have you, that I should have to bring a different one instead.
He
has a chayav to bring the animal itself, but only this particular animal itself. If this particular animal itself dies or gets lost or develops a mum or whatever, he doesn't have a chayav anymore, right? So why? Just because he said, oh, I didn't create, doesn't necessarily create a chayav on him. Because he started by saying, sure is that. Ella, he it's not hoppy. Right. But the question is, why is Olai created? So Ella, he it's not hoppy. No, rather what we have to say is, if it was said, this that we quoted from a Menashe Bazvid Amarav, what was actually said was like this. Amar of Menashe Bazvid Amarav, loishonu el de Amar shur ze ola, it only, this case in our Mishnah, where he can sell it and buy two smaller ones, is where he said shur ze ola, e nami Amar shur ze olai ola, or even if he said shur ze olai, even if he said both terms, because again, olai, because olai again means only that I'm responsible now to bring it to the business, but not that I have the responsibility for the actual value of the carbon. But aval omar shur ze bedoma of olai ola, but if he says this shur and the value of it is on me as an ola, then hukba, then it's established that it has to be dafka one ola. Because he used the word vidomov, or actually says ludomov. Well, that's the point, in other words. Vidomov, actually, Shikimuk about this changes it too. But yeah, so that's it. In other words, if he was to actually mention the word domov over there, then it would be that even though he started saying Shurze, then it turned it into something that he's high bachuyasa. Because by saying Domov, he's saying, in other words, that the dumbing of it, the value of it is an achrayas on me. So that means he took achrayas for it. In that case, then. If he says Shurze or Shurze Olai, then there's no such achrayas.
Just for sure. Not
then it just means it's on the shur. He just has the responsibility of bringing it to the mikdash, but he doesn't have the achrayus of making up for it if it can't be brought to the curtain. Fine. Mishnah says, here's another case. Ha'omer echad mikvasai hektish ve'echad mishvarai hektish. Suppose a person says, one of my sheep will be hektish, meaning a korban, or one of my oxen will be hektish. And now, if he has a bunch of them, which one is it? V'hoi l'shnayim. So let's start with, suppose he has, so if he has only one, then obviously it's that one.
Yeah, right.
Or if he has two, which one is it? Hagadol shebehen, well, we'll get to 10 in a second. Hagadol shebehen hektish. The biggest one of them is hektish. Because we assume, as Rashi says, because nivchar nidreis, you're supposed to bring the best possible, you're supposed to bring the best possible carbon. So therefore, we assume that he meant the best possible one. And the person actually asked, we said the other day, that when a person says harei alai ola, he only has to bring a keveth. Why don't we say by the same logic that he should have to bring a shirt, which is the best one. And an answer that's given, which is actually going to relate to what we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta and what we'll talk about in the Siyum Bezat Hashem, is that there's a difference between the best within one category versus across categories. Here he said, one of my kvasim is hektish, so we assume he meant the best one. But when he says generically, that's within the category of keveth. Within the category of keveth itself, he has to bring the best one. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean that when he's just saying generically, across all the three different types of animals that could be brought as an ola, I'm going to bring an ola that we should obligate him to bring the best, the highest value of the three types that can be brought as an ola, that not.
So it's the best animal of
within its category.
Within its category.
Right.
Or if he says, if he has a sure, a very good category, a very good quality, and the keres is very good quality, so what's...
No, but that's the point, in other words, but that's the thing. If he says, hare alai ola, without mentioning any type of animal, then he's only obligated to bring a keres, which is the least expensive out of the three. But here, where he's actually saying, one of my kvasim, meaning he's specifying the type of animal, he's specifying a keres, then it has to be the best one. Okay. What about shloisho? What if he has three animals? Then the medium one is hektish, because we don't know whether he meant the best one or whether he meant the medium one, which okay, at least would be ayin yafa compared to the smallest one.
Isn't there a rule that somebody is there to be the best?
Yes, but in this case we don't know which one did he intend to designate as hektish, the most expensive or the next most expensive one.
So he has a choice.
No, like this. He said echad mitzvotai hektish, and automatically that makes one of them hektish. The question is, which one is the kedusha chal? Which one is it chal on? Hold on. So we're saying dein nishaben hektish. Wait, we'll see in the gemara. Okay. What if he says kevashti ve'en yedei masha kevashti? What if he says, I know I specified one particular animal, but I'm not sure which one? Oy she'omer li abav en yedei ma? Or he says, my father told me that he designated one of these animals as korban, and then he passed away, and I don't know which one he meant. Then Hagodol Shaban Hektish, then the biggest one, the most expensive one, is Hektish, because then we can assume that Taka, he meant the best one, because again, he's kind of Drake.
Because
the two cases, where he says, I don't know which one, where he forgot which one he referred to, or because his father said, and he's not sure which one he refers to, so we have a suffix. Therefore, because of the suffix, it's the best one.
Only
in the case where he has three to begin with, and he said, Echad mitzvotai hektish, without specifying which one, then we say it means a medium one. Then we say it means a medium one. Then we say, yes. So now let's discuss in the Gemara. Wait. Alma Maktish for Ayin Yafa Maktish. So what do we see from the first case in the Mishnah that the best one is Hektish, and also in the last case, that seems to imply that Maktish for Ayin Yafa Maktish, when a person is Maktish, we usually assume he's Maktish the best possible one. Well, in that case, Ema Sefer, what about the middle part of the Mishnah, Beinani, Shaban Hektish? Why in the case where he has three, do we say that the Beinani is Hektish? Alma Maktish, Ba'ayin Ra Maktish. There it sounds like when a person is Maktish, he's Ba'ayin Ra, he tries to get away with the people. Which, by the way, we had a whole discussion about that in Baba Basra as well, in connection with a person is Maktish, the field, the trees, and whatever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what is it? Alma Shmuel, so Shmuel says no. What it means is Choshishin Asla Beinani. It doesn't mean that only the Beinani is Hektish. It means, basically, the big one is Hektish, and that's the one he has to bring as a curvy. However, we have to be choshish that maybe he did mean B'ayim Ra, that he did mean the Beinani. after all, the Lagabe Kotten, Ayin Yafel, because relative to the least expensive one, it is Ayin Yafel. So maybe Taka, he meant that one. Maybe Ayin Yafel doesn't mean the best possible Ayin Yafel. Maybe it just means the better Ayin Yafel, but not the very best. So therefore, Heichi of it. So the question is, what exactly do we do? The fact
it's
is...
It's not the best
for okay, but that's the question. When he says, when we say Makish for Ayin Yafel Makish, how Ayin Yafel are we expecting that he was?
He doesn't specify, it should be the best.
No, so the point is, there is a chash that he might have meant the Bain. So therefore, Heichi of it. So what does he actually do? After all, he only wants to bring one of them as a carbon. So what do you do to be Makish the other one? So what he does is, Omer Chia Barab, Mamkin Loy Anshi Yomam. What he has to do is like this. The big one is the one that's going to be hektish. It's the one that's going to be the carbon. But he has to wait. He can't use the medium one until it develops a mum. And then once it develops a mum, for sure it can't be brought to the carbon. And then Omachel Leivus Kedusha Begadol. Then at that point he's Mechalo the Kedusha of it onto the big one. But that way, no matter what, if the Kedusha was originally on the baby, then okay, then he's mechallel it on the gadol, and if it was on the gadol, then mechud on the bein, he was cool. So that way, he's covered no matter what.
But then, when you make a nay there, and then you're going to wait until one of the animals has a mum.
It's not that hard to wait. I mean, there's a lot of mumim out there. It's not really that hard to wait until the animal. But okay, look, okay, fine. So if he doesn't want to do that, then fine. Then I guess he can be mocked with the big one, and then it just means he's going to have a suffix about the medium one. If he wants to be able to use the medium one after all, then he's going to have to do it this way. So the alternatives are either he can wait to be matched with the big one until the medium one develops a mum, or if he's not going to wait that long and then he's in Baltacher and whatever, then okay, it means he's going to remain with a suffix on the medium one. Okay, so then he'll remain with a suffix on the medium one. If he wants to use the medium one, look, if he doesn't want to use the medium one, then fine, he can leave it and he remains with a suffix. Okay, when we say umachel, by the way, Rashi mentions over here, and Rabbeinu Gershon spells out in more detail, that he declares, he says, if the Beinoni was the one that was hektish, then I'm being machalit on the big one, and if not, then the big one was already the one that's kodesh. The Rambam writes, on the other hand, that the kedusha automatically transfers from the Beinoni to the gadol. So the Nosa Kalem on the Rambam discussed how exactly does it automatically transfer. In particular, there's an explanation. The Ma'ariv Kurkus over there says on the Rambam, the Ketzes Mishnah brings it, that basically what it is most of the Kedusha really is on the Gadol. It's only that slight possibility that maybe he met Bain. So therefore, unlike usual where you have to verbally transfer it, here it can transfer.
You have three, one is the first, then one is understood.
But maybe he had in mind the Beinoni. Look, we don't know. So therefore, we can't
eat. Even if you had in mind the Beinoni, you still have to begin bringing the best to
okay, fine. But look, if you explicitly said, I'm being Makdish the Beinoni, obviously the Beinoni is the one that's Hektish, right? So therefore, in this case, we said, as we said, Kevith Echem Mikvotah Hektish, then it means Kevith Echem Mikvotah Hektish, then it means that the greatest assumption is he meant the big one, but just in case, just to be on the safe side, we have to do something with the small one. But therefore, the Ma'ariv Kurkus says, therefore, if it develops a mum, then already it can automatically, the Rambam will hold the Kurkus, can automatically transfer to the big one, because it was only a chash anyway. Okay, so that's the point. According to Rashi and according to Rabbeinu Gershon, you would have to spell that. Because how else are you going to do it? Otherwise, you'll bring them both as carbonates. If you want to bring them both as carbonates, fine, you can do that also. Okay. Omer of Nachman, Omer of Nachman. Oh, once again, you can still bring them a separate carbonus. You can still say, you said kevith mitzvotah hektish, and then fine, not kevith mitzvotah, that's the next case we're going to talk about, echad mitzvotah hektish. So fine, we'll say, so now he'll say again, okay, now I'll say echad mitzvotah hektish, and the other one, whatever, the point is he'll somehow specify that it means the other one as well. The hechi of it was only if he wants to be able to use the medium one. If he wants to just bring it as a carbon as well, fine. Okay. Omer of Nachman, Omer of Rav. All of this only applies if he just said the word, one of my shvarim is hektish. Avo omer shur b'shvarim hektish, but if instead he used the expression, a shur among my shvarim is hektish, that's different. Shur b'shvarim implies that the best one out of them. Then it means hagadol shabani hektish. Then it surely means the big one is hektish, even if he has three or more, because toro b'toroi karma. He means like the one that it's an ox among other oxen. It's like distinctive. Yes. Then it means that's the one that's like the most noticeable among all of them. So the question is, any? Is that so? If somebody says to somebody else that I'm selling you one house from among my houses, so then he's able to buy the base. In other words, I own five houses. I'm selling you one of them without specifying which one. So then he's he shows him an aliyah. In other words, we assume that we assume that aliyah over here means, as it usually does in Shas, aliyah usually means a second floor, which is not as good quality as a ground floor. So therefore, bias pervasive doesn't necessarily mean the most important out of all my houses. So by that law, just why should shur the shvar, I mean the best out of all my shvar? I understand, but still, the same basic rules should apply. If shur the shvar means the best, then bias pervasive should also mean the best. So then what do you mean? Lav mishum degriya. Isn't that the pashtus? He can show him the aliyah because an aliyah is worth less than a house, and therefore that shows that he can give the least one. So saying bias the batai doesn't in and of itself necessarily indicate the best quality. It doesn't necessarily have to mean the best quality. It could mean the worst quality. And the answer is no, the word aliyah over here could mean, like you were thinking, that it means the best of all the houses. So in other words, the same rule would apply. Just like shurim and shvarai means the best out of all my shvarim, the same way bias for batai has to mean, therefore, the best out of all my houses. The Rambam actually says somewhat differently
that no, the Rambam says no, someone in a cotton should have him can give him the least one out of all.
The same thing if you want to not in the case of Hekish, in the case of selling to somebody else. He's able to say that it means the cotton, and if one of them dies, then he's able to tell them that's the one that I sold to you, because Yad Baal Ashtar Al Kakhtoina, because the one who has the Shtar has the lower hand. The Gemara is going to say that at the end of the year. You know what? Let's see if we can finish up and then get this. Okay. So far we're saying that aliyah means the best, and therefore shur b'shvarai and bias b'beisi always means the best. But the Gemara continues, basically, I have a contradiction. A braisa says shur b'shvarai hektish. If a person says one shur among my shvarim is hektish, v'chein shur shal hektish in esar v'acherim. Similarly, if a shur of hektish gets mixed up with other ones, hagadol shaban hektish, only the biggest one is hektish. However, all the rest of them still have to be sold to people who need erlis, udmeyan chulin, because they might have been the one, udmeyan chulin, but the money of them is chulin. So you see, therefore, that shur b'shvarai clearly means the biggest one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, So the question, but we're saying all the rest of them also, to be on the safe side, have to be sold to people who need oath. That implies that it might conceivably have been one of the other ones. Why? If we're saying shur mishvarai definitely means the biggest one, shur bishvarai rather definitely means the biggest one, why would there even be a suffix on the other one? We have two cases in the Braisa. Shur bishvarai hektish, he says, I have 10 shvarim over here, a shur among my shvarim is hektish. Or the second case is you had a shur of hektish, we know that it was hektish, unquestionably, but then it got mixed up with a bunch of others. Then he said the biggest one is hektish, but the rest of them have to be sold to people who need oil. If we're saying shur b'shvara necessarily means the biggest one, then if that one gets mixed up with other ones afterwards, why do we have a suffix about the other ones such that we need to sell them to people who need oil? No, but there's no suffix. We said shur b'shvara clearly means the biggest one. We just said shur b'shvara clearly means the biggest one, and bias the bottom clearly means the
biggest.
Yes, so you'd find the most expensive, and that would be one. The answer is, it was a taguma asher shal hektish in its arabache. You're right. That part of the braisa that says that you have to sell them to people who need olas is referring to the second case, where you have one shur of hektish that got mixed up with a bunch of other ones. There's no question that shur of the shvarai means the biggest one.
But even if it gets mixed up,
it's still always the biggest one. But if you have an ordinary case where a shur of hektish gets mixed up with other ones and you don't know which is which, then you assume you take the biggest one and bring it as a korban, and you have all the other ones that are sold to people who need korbanos as well, so that no matter which one it is, it ends up being brought to the korban. So the Gemara says, "V'ha b'chein kama." What do you mean? The Braita is comparing the two cases. So it sounds like the same din applies to both. The answer is Targuma Agobo. No, the part that it says b'chein is referring to the concept that the biggest one goes to hektish.
In other words, the Braita is telling us you have two cases. Both of those cases have this in common, that the Gadol is Hekdesh. But they have a difference between them, namely that in the case of Shur B'Shvarai, there's no question for Gadol. Therefore, all the other ones are pure Cholin, if it gets mixed up with them. Whereas a Shur Shal Hekdesh, and it's Arav Achelim, where the original one wasn't necessarily the Gadol, then therefore we say all of them are Sopik Hekdesh, and therefore all of them have to be sold to people who need it.
Why can't you say the same?
Because you could have one person's gadol. First of all, the person doesn't always have to be makdish to gadol, right? A person could be makdish a lesser quality animal. We're saying like a filler maybe, but we're
sorry.
Okay. No. Okay. The case of shor b'shvarai is the person has 10 shvarim. The most expensive is worth 1,000, and so he says when he says shor b'shvarai, then it means that one that's worth 1,000. But you could have another case, just a plain old case, where a person says shur there, which happens to be worth only 500. It may not be his debt. He might not be yotze to the mitzvah min amukha, but nevertheless, still hektish. Now, that one that's worth 500 gets mixed up with a bunch of others, and we don't know which one is which. Then we say, Hagadol shebehen, so we have to find among these shvarim which one is the one, we don't know which one is the original one, it's mixed up. Therefore, we take the most expensive one out of the mixture and make that one is, we assume that one is hektish. However, we have to sell all the other ones to other people who need them for oilus because they might, each one of them instead might have been the hektish one. Right. So that's the point. Right. So the money is colon, but the money is colon, right. But that's the point. In other words, the difference is the reason why the Braisa is comparing both cases is because in both cases the gadol is the one that's picked. But not that in both cases, if they're mixed up, not that the same rules don't apply to the rest of them. In the one case, only the big one is hektish, and the other ones are complete cholin, and then you don't even have a suffix on them. And in the second case, you have a suffix on all the others.
They both compare only by the double.
Only the fact that you have a double. That's what we're comparing.
Not the rest.
So still no contradiction to the idea that sure, the shvarai means the biggest one. However, at this point, they've already started my ears, so we'll finish up the discussion tomorrow, and then we'll get back to what the Rambam says about Yad Ba'al Ashtar al-Achachem.
Is there a
Shem
tomorrow?
Yes, there is a Shem. Tomorrow, actually, we'll be doing it earlier. We'll be doing it at 7 o'clock because there is the Yotas Kislev Fabrengin and also the Siyum taking place at 8 o'clock, Bez Hashem.
8 o'clock will be the Father at 7 and the Siyum will be 8?
So Shir at 7, Ma'ariv and the Siyum at 8, yes.
Okay, thank you.